Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Fan.
204 on The Fan, and a very good Friday afternoon to you. Benigno Roberts in the afternoon. 877-337-6666 is the phone number here till 6 o'clock. JJ, John Jastrzemski, Odds On Sports Show will come your way. Tommy Lugauer in Manhattan, Ernie Acosta somewhere in Westchester in the Yonkers area. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody. And nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I look outside. It's raining. It's cold. It's just fantastic.
Crummy.
It's crummy.
Really crummy.
Kind of like our football teams. It fits right in.
And the weekend's supposed to be okay, though. Sunny, at least. Sunny, like low 60s. So still could play some golf, thank God.
Yeah.
Not much more up here anyway. But
the question is, are we actually going to see a victory from one of these terrible football teams in this town? Is this the weekend, October 18th, 6 weeks into the NFL season? Is this the week where we see a win? Because it is kind of mind-boggling. I know it's not stunning that the Jets aren't any good. And the Giants aren't any good. But it is the idea that they're 0-10 combined, I think the whole enormity of it, to me, is still surprising.
Yeah. Well, I think the Giants win this week. I mean, I think if they're going to win a game, this is it. I mean, they got Washington at home. I really look at it as a game they should win. I mean, even though Washington won a game, I think the Giants are probably the better team. They're going to start Kyle Allen here in this game. I mean, this is a game the Giants need to win. I mean,
they got to win.
You want to say must win, but it is kind of a must win for them. I think for Joe Judge and the program, they need to get on the board, and this is a team they certainly should be able to beat.
Oh, 1,000%. They got to win this game. Not that winning this game is going to turn them into this NFC East contender as bad as the division is, but look, if you look at the last few years,
although you never know if the Cowboys and the Eagles lose, all of a sudden that game Thursday night against the Eagles is a big game.
Oh, yeah. No. I think mathematically we'll be able to tell ourselves they're in it. Winning a game is still a long ways away from winning, seven or eight of
them. Sure.
Is what it would take to win this division.
Although the NFC East, you made me six might get it done. I mean,
maybe.
You never know.
But it's funny, when you look at the last few years, there have not been many Giant victories. But when they've won games, it's been against this team. I mean, they don't beat the Eagles.
Yep.
They don't beat the Cowboys.
No.
But they beat Washington.
Whether they're
the Redskins or now they're the Washington football team, they've beaten them the last couple of years. And you're right. Not that the Giants can't lose this game. Trust me, they can.
Wow.
But they should win this game. I think the concern I'd have going in, if there is one, is this Washington defensive line and this Giant offensive line and protecting Daniel Jones. Because one thing we've grown used to is that Daniel will give you a fumble a game. You know, that's a weekly tradition. And sometimes it's not on him. You know, Andrew Thomas has had some issues so far in his rookie season. So I think protecting Daniel is obviously going to be paramount. But what you're looking for is, over the last 2 weeks, we've seen positive signs from the Giants, but they haven't been able to put it all together. They haven't been able to give you that fully complete game. We saw the defense against the Rams overall play a hell of a game outside of one mistake on that, you know, kind of breakdown on the Cooper Kupp play. And then last week, the offense was better. It wasn't great, but it was better. You know, we saw significant progress. We know the opponent. I get it. But still, we saw progress. So you're just looking for that complete game. And you're right. I mean, I think right now most Giant fans look at this coach and they say, you know what? We may have something in him. But eventually, you got to win games. You know,
yep.
Eventually, there needs to be some pellets on the board. And certainly, this is the week to do it against a Washington team that's not that good.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, look, I mean, they're a home favorite. I think they're a 2.5-point favorite. I don't remember the last time the Giants were favored in the game. It's probably a long time. But I just think this is the game. You know, their defense has been solid enough. You know, you got Allen at quarterback. I don't know what you're going to get from him, to be very honest, how good he really is. I mean, I know he did some decent things in Carolina. But I'm not excited. They don't have a multitude of offensive weapons here with Washington. I mean, it's a team that the Giant defense should be able to – You know, keep in check, to be very honest with you.
The last time to answer that question where the Giants were favored was against Washington. They were favored by a point down in D.C. That was the game they won 41-35, so they covered, obviously.
Right, right.
And the week before that, they were favored against the Dolphins. And what's funny about the Dolphins is that they are not just favorites against the Jets this weekend.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
They are the biggest,
number on the board.
I know. And I was so curious, Joe, to look back. Because, you know, you make the comment, hey, when was the last time the Giants were favored? So I'm thinking, well, when's the last time the Dolphins were favored?
Right.
Because, you know, the Miami Dolphins obviously went through a year last year in which they did far better than, you know, any of us expected. But they had expectations that were incredibly low. And so far this year, they've been dogs in every game they've played. You know, rightfully so. I mean, you're playing the Patriots, you're playing the Bills. The Jaguar game was on the road. They blew them out, but they were dogs in that game. So they've been dogs in all games they've played this year. And they were underdogs in every single game they played last year. Hmm. So the last time the Miami Dolphins were favorites in a game.
Adam Gase was actually the coach, right?
Adam Gase was the head coach, yes. On December 23rd, 2018, against the Jaguars, they were laying 3. And just, you know, for the record, they lost the game 17-7. So they... They didn't cover.
Lovely.
Lovely indeed. So, I mean, that just shows you the state of the Jets. Look, give the Dolphins credit. They have looked good. You've been a fan of this coach for a while.
No, I like him. Flores, I like him.
Yeah. But the state of the Jets is evident when you are a 9.5-point underdog to the Miami Dolphins.
You know, it is always a little concerning when a team is suddenly a favorite after they never have been.
Oh yeah,
and the one thing, and look, I don't know if I don't think the Jets are winning any game, but the one thing about this game this week is this is a very different type of rivalry. I mean, I've talked about this for a long time. You know, there's been many years where the Jets were just terrible, and the Dolphins were actually pretty good, and the Jets would beat them at least, you know, beat them once.
Yeah,
you know, there's always been, you know, it's pretty even. I don't know what the numbers are. For this rival, they split the two games last year. They should have lost both of them, the Jets. They got that bogus call on that pass interference that really won them that second game at MetLife. But I don't know if it's even, but
well,
it's pretty close. Do you have the all-time record there? It's got to be almost 50-50, I would say.
I have the numbers in front of me, and I'll tell you they've played 108 regular season games head-to-head.
Okay? And one playoff game, obviously, which is the championship game in 82, which obviously the Dolphins, A.J. Dewey's still running, as we all know.
Yes. So if you want to include, do you want me to include that game in this?
Yeah, throw it in
there.
Okay. It counts.
Right. So
it certainly counts.
So they've played 109 times, and there's a tie mixed in. Okay, they had one tie.
Right, 1981.
All time. Yes, all
28,
time.
28-28. Walt Michaels made a big mistake in this game about not going for a field goal that could have won the game. I don't want to get into that. But
that's, I understand.
Even this I remember from 100 years ago.
No, I know.
Because they started that year. You know, the interesting thing about that year is they started that year 0-3-1 and wound up finishing 10-5-1 and making the playoffs. And of course, they lost to Buffalo. But
I have given thought that the Jets could tie a game this season as opposed to winning a game this
good
season.
Tie.
That's how
like
the season would
that's
look.
That's like a win.
Kind of.
If they tie, they're going to cover the number because they're not going to be favored in anything.
Right. Of course. No, they're never going to be favored again.
Right.
All time. Here it is. You ready?
Go. It's got to be very, like, close to 50-50.
It's very close to 50-50, and the Jets actually have the edge. It's 55-53 Jets. All time.
That's 55-53, and that includes.
Yes.
That includes the playoff game.
That includes the playoff game. We don't include it, then they're three games over. So that's the all-time mark. Look, if I was a Dolphin fan, I'd be very nervous about this.
Well,
game.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, and I'm sure they are. And you know, looking at it from the Dolphin point of view, and that's one of the reasons why. I mean, look, It's very hard. I did go against the Jets once this year in the knockout pool, the Colt game. It was too easy. I had to do it. I mean, where is this team going? It's not like it even matters going that way. The reason I'm not is because of that, you know, because of the fact that this has been that kind of rivalry. I mean, we saw last year, you know, Miami hadn't won a game. And, you know, the Jets go down to Miami where they were winless and they lose to the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, I mean, and I got to – this is crazy, but, I mean, I almost feel better that Flacco's playing about their chances to win the game. Flacco, we talked about it yesterday, is 6-0 lifetime out with the Ravens. It's a different right. – you know, which is continents away from what the Jets are. But, you know, he's had success against the Dolphins. I would – Look, I think Miami will win the game. I wouldn't be surprised. I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah,
I think it'll probably
be a
closer game than people might realize here.
Yeah, this is the first time where, because usually every week I think the Jets are going to get killed. And I'm usually right because
right.
they do get
right.
crushed every week.
They have. Yeah.
Right. This is the first time where I'm with you. I actually think it will be a close game. There's one other factor involved in this, and that's while I have respect for what Ryan Fitzpatrick has done, he has always been a wildly inconsistent quarterback.
Yeah.
He's coming off of a really hell of a performance against the Niners. He threw three touchdown passes.
Yep.
He didn't turn the ball over. He completed like 80% of his passes. And if you remember back to last year when he faced the Jets, he had one really good game and one really bad game. I mean, that's kind of who he is, to be honest with you.
And I remember last year, too, in a game, I believe the game they won, I mean, he ran the ball. Effectively, he's done that this year,
I
mean, it's stunning when you look at a guy like him who's 36 years old. I mean, the guy plays quarterback very recklessly for a 36-year-old guy, but I think that's always been part of his MO and why he's been so, you know, either very good or very bad.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think that recklessness is just he realizes, I don't know how much longer I'm going to get a chance to play.
Right.
I mean,
right.
he's on
right.
borrowed time with the Miami
right.
Dolphins
right.
anyway
right.
because
right.
Tua's going to take his job at some point.
Of course.
So I think any job he's had, he kind of knows clock is ticking. It can end at any moment. So I think that's a part of why, you know, if whether it's reckless, whether it's aggressive, whatever you want to call it, he plays that kind of football. But I'm with you. I expect the game to be close. I heard something about 20 minutes ago, and it was from Greg Williams' press conference. Mm. And it really made me laugh because when they first made this hire, you know, Adam Gase and Greg Williams, I think you and I thought and everybody thought, boy, this may not end well between the two of them. You know, a couple of guys with huge egos, this won't go well. And I saw a clip that I think it was Ralph Vacchiano posted it, a video clip of Greg Williams talking about the defense, talking about why they've averaged 32 points per game. So I want you to take a listen to this because Greg Williams explains why the defense has averaged 32 points a game. And tell me if you agree there's clearly a rift now between Greg Williams and Adam Gase. And I didn't think it was that passive aggressive. But here it is. Vacchiano tweeted, I think it was on SNY as well, Greg Williams talking about the awfulness of the Jets defense.
You guys are allowing 32.2 points per game. How shocking is it to hear that number?
It's not a very, very good number, you know, and a lot of it's not all defensively, but, you know, it's not a very good number. And it's points on the board. We've got to do a good job with that. And how you do that is make them kick more field goals. Got to do a better job in field position type things. And, as you see, the scoring's up in the league, but it still makes me sick, you know, and all the players I've been places, I always talk about setting defense back 100 years, okay, because you got to be able to place very strict, stringent defense, and the biggest part of it is when they get into those scoring areas, make them kick field goals. Don't let them cross the goal line.
When you say it's not all a defensive thing, what are you referring to?
Yeah, you just figure it out.
What do you take out of that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, we've seen this year, I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, three and outs for the Jets this year. I mean, how many times have we seen that, you know, over the year? And, you know, it just the offense does nothing and it continues, and I'm not exonerating the defense, which has been bad, but continues to put the defense in bad situations. I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Both can be true.
Right,
I mean,
this
defense this season has been disastrous.
It's been terrible.
Huge disappointment.
Terrible. And penalties have killed the defense.
Absolutely.
The penalties have killed the defense more than penalties have killed the offense. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it.
Well, the offense just flat out stinks.
Right.
And that's
right.
basically what it comes
right.
down to.
Right.
So it's not as if what he said was wrong, but what he said was clearly a dig at Adam Gase in the offense. And it reeked to me of a guy that's setting up to become the interim head coach.
Yeah, no question. I'm just going to say that. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. He's setting
that's the
up
way it feels.
That he's going to be the interim head coach at some point this year, and I think he knows that.
I think he wants it. I don't know if it's a certainty necessarily that he would be the guy. I mean, he has the resume
for it. We may not
be
happy if all of a sudden he takes over and he does what he did in Cleveland, and then bye-bye Trevor.
right. Well, here's the bottom line, and I'm not saying Greg Williams is going to think this, because I know that you're a competitor. If he takes over as the head coach, of course he's going to try to win games. Why wouldn't he? But I look at this entire staff, whether it's Dowell Loggins, whether it's Jim Bob Cooter in all likelihood, whether it's – they're all gone. I mean, once this season is over –
they're all gone.
They're all gone.
No. Whoever the new coach comes in is going to have his whole new staff in there. That is no question.
But that absolutely reeked of a comment where he wasn't exonerating his defense, because he did take accountability for how bad they've been. It's not as if he said it's none of our fault, but he did have to throw in the it's not all defensively, and then when followed up about it, well, you could figure it out. You know? Which is, I think, kind of obvious what he's trying to do there. But the team's a mess. They're a mess from top to bottom. That's the thing about it. They are a disastrous football team in every aspect.
You know, it's interesting. A very good article by my good buddy Mark Catanzaro today in the Post, where he kind of talks about the 96 team that were 1-15. And what you forget about that year is they had some players on his team. I mean, a lot of these guys that were on that 1-15 team were also on the team that went to the AFC Championship game 2 years later and were major contributors to the team. I mean, Keyshawn was on the team. Wayne Corbett was on the team. Was on the team. Lewis was on the team. Mo Lewis was on the team. Victor Green was on the team. Ray Mickens was on the team. Aaron Glenn was on that team. I mean, you look at, you know, the guy Boomer was on the team, but he wasn't part of the 98 team, of course. But, I mean, there was so many guys that were, you know, major guys, major players on that 12-4 AFC Championship team, championship game team, that lost to Denver, that were on that 1-15 team.
That's
crazy.
One of the huge differences between
no question
and these
about
teams
it.
Are going to be compared. I mentioned to you the other day, I didn't get to it. Yep. I'll get to it today.
No question.
I started
about
comparing
it.
The stats of the first 5 weeks of that 96 team to the 20 team. They're going to be compared all year long. They're going to be compared all year long because these two teams are going to go down linked as two of the worst teams in the history of the franchise.
Right. Yeah,
we don't know yet is what happens next. Because the story of that 96 team, as you just pointed out, is what happened next.
Yeah.
That Bill Parcells walked through the door, and as angry as we all were for how that following season ended, we do have to admit they went from 1-15 to a
9-7. And it should
incredible.
Have been better, but yeah, of course.
Right,
of course.
Sure.
And then, that's why when I hear, and I understand it, it's, you know, 23 years ago, but when I hear stuff about, you know, like we get calls, oh, it's going to take them 3 or 4 years. No, it's not. That's nonsense. If you got the right head coach in there and you start bringing the right players in and you actually draft well, dare I say that, oh, my God, could you imagine a good draft for the Jets? What's that? Okay. Do we even know what that is anymore? I mean, you know, you could turn it around very quickly.
But to your point, the talent on that 96 team is better than the talent on this 20 team.
There's no question.
There was more to work with as they tried the quick turnaround a year later. There just was.
Right.
You know, we still look at this roster and say, all right, who's on this team moving forward?
Right.
You know, who's going to survive the next few weeks before the trade deadline, too? There was another story yesterday, a report that teams are asking about Quinnen Williams again.
Yeah.
Now, to me, trading.
Seriously, we're going to trade.
No,
can
that's
it's trade Quinnen Williams. Here's the reason I don't want to trade him. I mean, can we maybe actually have a draft choice, a third, like the third pick in the draft that actually turns out to be a great player for our team? Is that possible?
And not only that, like, I understand you were tough on the guy last year, rightfully so, and have a great rookie season.
He's
a guy who's
signs.
In the middle of his second season.
And he's showing signs.
Of course, he's 22 years old.
Right.
Turning around and trading him for what? Like, even a first-round pick.
For what?
For
right.
what? You used right. a third overall right. pick on him
right. Right.
a
right.
year
right.
ago.
Well, the thing that's, again, the thing that's against Quinnen Williams is that he wasn't drafted by Douglas.
Now,
that's always, you know.
Come on, though. You know what?
No, bro, you're
here's
talking
why
to
that's
me.
BS.
I mean, of course, I'm with you. I don't want to trade Quinnen Williams.
But,
I don't want to trade him.
But that's such BS, too, also, because like, we just talked about 96 to then 98. Do we sit back and think about, well, who did Bill bring in and who did
right.
he not bring
right.
in?
Right.
Nobody
right.
cares.
Right. Well, Bill did bring in some guys that kind of, you know, cemented that team.
He did, but he
you
also
know, the
didn't.
Curtis Martins, the Kevin Mawais,
of course,
and guys
but he,
like that. But there was, like you said, there was talent there already.
Look, of course you bring in guys, but you don't get rid of talented guys just for the reason of, well, I didn't bring them in.
No.
That's stupid.
Yeah,
and
no,
I don't necessarily think they're going to trade Quinn and Williams, but the idea of doing that doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense at all. No. Nope.
So I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks before the trade deadline. I'm all for moving guys that aren't going to be a part of this team long term, but call me crazy, a 22-year-old should be part of the team long term.
Look, he's only in his second year, like you said. He was the third pick in the draft. I mean, if they get rid of him and Donald's gone too, that means that none of their first-round picks over like the last 10 years are on the team anymore.
Crazy.
Just mind-boggling to think that. Their drafting has been so bad. It is unbelievable when you think. And this draft right now is not turning out to look any better. I got to tell you right now.
Well,
is Mitch playing this week? I've heard conflicting reports. Is he playing?
I haven't seen that he is. I mean, the 21-day window has started, which means we'll see him in the next few weeks, but I don't know if we're going to see him.
Yeah, we'll see him. And then, of course, the week before he's really going to play, he'll pull his hamstring again.
But one thing, though, I got to say to you, though, about Quinn and Williams is that last year you looked at him and said, forget that, this guy's a bust.
Right.
That isn't he proof a reminder that you do have to give these guys time when we talk
about
this draft
class?
Let
me give Quinn and Williams credit for this, though. He actually plays.
Yes, he does.
Quinn and Williams is – how about this concept? Quinn and Williams is actually on the field playing every week for the Jets.
He did miss a few weeks. He did miss a few weeks last year, though.
Okay, but so far this year he's played every game.
No, he has. You're right. You're right.
You know?
You're right.
The quarterback's out again for another game. It's his eighth game he's going to miss in the last 3 years. I mean, it's just – yeah, at least Quinn and Williams is out there playing football, you know?
You are right. A lot of football today. We'll make our NFL picks in the 5 o'clock hour. Carl Banks will preview Giants-Washington coming up at 3 o'clock. Ian Rappaport, that'll be exciting. Guy's been, he's a renegade. He's been suspended, but not suspended from coming on our show.
Yeah, well, I don't even want to get
one. He was suspended for a dopey reason. It's nothing.
I heard it. I mean, it's out of my realm. Let's put it that way.
Put it this way, it's not like Ian Rappaport like tweeted something offensive or anything like that. It was nothing like that. But he's one of the best football guys out there. We'll talk to him in the 4 o'clock hour. And the manager of the New York Yankees, Aaron Boone.
How about
that's
that?
That's right. He's had time. We got
to get into a little bit to the Astros too, because
yes, we do.
I watched that game. I'm actually like interested in it.
I knew it, dude. I said this to my
wife last
night.
Because I think they could do it, bro. I tell you what.
Yep.
Because they, right now, the Houston Astros, it is us against everybody else right now.
Amen. As that game was unfolding and as Carlos Correa stood there to admire that home run.
He styled that home run.
Oh, I turned to my wife. Yep. I said, Joe is officially into this series right now.
Yep.
I just knew it for many reasons.
Yep.
So, and the Dodger game was a disaster, but we'll get into that later.
Well, I mean,
too.
Kershaw, another rough one in the playoffs.
Well, you know what? He was rough, but how about the Dodger bats show up? How about they don't let a guy no one's ever heard of just shut them down for six innings? How about that novel
concept? I got
no
problem with the Dodgers going down. Let them go down in flames.
I get you.
Let them go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.